Out of the Darkness is the gritty and hard-hitting autobiography of former Leicester and Sunderland winger Matt Piper, the ex-England under-21 hopeful whose dreams were shattered when an injury ended his football career in his mid-20s. Delighted to be joining me live on the line from the UK, Matt himself. Matt, good morning to you.
Morning, Giles. How are you, mate?
I'm very well, thank you. Another beautiful day here in Spain. It's tell me a little bit about your background, Matt, because you're a Leicester boy through and through, I believe.
I am, yeah. I've been at the club since I was 8 years old. I work on the radio, the local radio station for the club now. But, I sort of came through the ranks at Leicester. Got in the first team around about 19 years old. Played for half a season. Then they sold me to Sunderland because they were on the brink of administration. They needed the money. I played for Sunderland for 4 years, but too many knee injuries, mate, ended my career at 24.
And you didn't want to go to Sunderland, did you? I mean, because Leicester was your club through and through, and it's quite sort of harsh that the fact that your career was cut short whilst you weren't at your boyhood club.
Yeah, I didn't want to go to Sunderland at the time. I mean, as I said, I was there since I was 7 years old. Every day waking up, Mum was a massive Leicester fan. My old man was an Arsenal fan, actually, but I was a Leicester fan, and it was my dream to play for the club. So once you get into the first team and you're doing really well, even though we got relegated the season that I got in, it was a huge shock to me when they came to me and said, we need to move you on to Sunderland. But, you know, Mickey Adams was the manager at the time, and he sort of pointed me in the direction of all the staff that would lose their jobs if they did go into administration. So I was the only one that they felt was a saleable asset at the time, so I thought it was the right thing that I moved on to try and save the club and to keep them out of liquidation.
And you also represented England, you represented your country at the under-21 level. What was that like, and who were your contemporaries?
That was brilliant. So I played with the likes of Gareth Barry, Jermaine Jenas, Titus Bramble, Jermaine Defoe, lots of big names, Peter Crouch. Lots of big names, unfortunately, so it meant that I just sat on the bench for the 4 or 5 games that I was involved with the 21s, and I never actually managed to get on the pitch in a competitive game. So in the end, I only played one friendly for the England under-21s, but it was a good experience. But never really got my cap for England that I so wanted.
What's you'd had sort of generic problems with your knees for a while. I think you had, 15, 16 surgeries over the years. Was it at the back of your mind that you might not be able to continue playing for a very long time?
No, not really, because there were only cartilage injuries, Giles. So at the time, it was out for 6 weeks, little operation, tidied the cartilage up back. But then it became a vicious circle because I was getting back, playing 2 or 3 games, and then the other knee would go. So I'd be out for 6 weeks again, come back, and then the other knee would go. So I evened it out in the end. My body did. I had 8 operations on each knee, but it wasn't until I went to America to see a world-renowned specialist, Dr. Richard Stedman, his name was, and he was sort of the first guy that put it in my mind. He said, listen, he said, you just haven't got a body that's capable of playing at this level. This is always going to happen. There's not an operation out there that can stop this from happening. So, you know, after he said that, it was sort of in my mind then that this is always going to be a struggle trying to play at this level.
Any sports person has to look at what they do after when the game stops. It doesn't matter what sport you're in. But normally, depending on who you are as a sports person, it's going to be your mid to late 30s. You might move down a division or whatever. But for you, having been, going through the academy, becoming a professional, playing, training with the under 21 squad. I mean, were you prepared for life after football?
The simplest answer is no, which is unfortunate. I can look back and laugh now because obviously I've come through them trepidations. But at the time, I had money in the bank when I finished football. I was only 24 years old, so I still had more or less my whole life in front of me. And I thought I would find something. I just really believed that I would find, another calling after football. And unfortunately, when, you know, that money's running out and you're not finding that thing you really want to do and you have a passion for, that is when my passion became drinking and taking drugs and feeling sorry for myself and, you know, going through bouts of depression and, you know, hurting a lot of people that were close to me, family members, friends. And my purpose in life became getting up in the morning, drinking a bottle of whiskey and watching the Jerry Mikhail show, which was not a good place to be.
I mean, I suppose the thing is that because you've been in this environment, you know, from an early age, and you train and you're told what to do and you're told where to be and everything is registered and your nutritionist tell you what to eat and you're training every day. So when that's all gone, you just think, well, I've got money in the bank. You know, I've earned this. You know, your little ego thinks to yourself, let's go and enjoy it.
Yeah, it was. I was still living like a footballer. That was the problem. That's why the money burnt so quickly. I was still going on holidays, first class on the aeroplane, the best hotels. And then you don't realise how quickly, when there's not a constant income coming in, how quickly you burn through that cash. But even now, money's not a hugely important factor in my life. As long as I keep a roof over the kids' heads. I put food on the table. It wasn't the money I felt sorry for myself. It was the fact that, you know, you're trying to do something since you're 7, 8 years old and you've achieved it. It gets taken away from you, fine, because of my needs. But then I just couldn't find that next calling or that next passion. And that's where all the problems started to arise, really.
And it just seems to be a thing with footballs. I mean, I know a lot of other sports people are under pressure, but you do, you know, the number of footballers who have had problems with gambling, drink, drugs after the careers are finished is legendary. You know, you go back to sort of George Best and you go back to Paul Merson and Tony Adams, of course. Your drinking and your addictions put you in hospital a couple of times as well.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I'm huge now. I run an academy now, so I've got lots of 16 and 17-year-olds. And my main message to these kids is finding a purpose. And, you know, if you achieve and you use goal setting and all this and you achieve that purpose that you've set in your mind, then you have to go again. You have to set another purpose in life. It's hugely important because when there's no purpose there, that's when things can start to unravel, and that's what happened with me. So now I have my purpose set up, I've got my core values set up, and it keeps me on that pathway of moving forward on a daily basis. And I think a lot of, especially footballers and sports people, because they're so set with the main purpose on, you know, achieving what they want to achieve out of the sport, once that's over and there's no purpose left, that's when things can start to unravel. So it's hugely important, even when you're still a footballer or you're still a sports person or anyone in life, really, it's hugely important when you achieve those dreams, those purposes that you set for yourself, you don't stop there. You set a new purpose, and that will keep you moving forward and keep you on a pathway.
And you've got to be pretty disciplined and committed to be a footballer. And if you've got an addictive personality, then if you can find something positive to bring, you'll go for it, 100%.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, an addictive personality is a great trait to have when you have a purpose. So when you want to be a footballer, I used to get up every morning without fail from 7 years old to 24 when I quit. And my main aim was, how can I become fitter? How can I become stronger, faster? How can I become more skillful on the football pitch? And that addictive personality helps you in that way. I mean, your addictive personality lets you down when you don't have a purpose, because once you take a drink and you sort of, all them thoughts of what am I going to do next go to the back of your mind, drinking becomes your main purpose. And unfortunately, that's what happened with me for 18 months of my life, and things unraveled so quickly.
Tell me a little bit about the Sporting Chance Clinic, because it was there that A, you got treated and you came to understand what was going on in your head, and B, you got this coaching that put you on the path where you are now.
Yeah, Sporting Chance was brilliant. I mean, you've already mentioned his name, Tony Adams, the ex-Arsenal and England player who has been through troubles himself, started the clinic about 20 years ago now. And it's backed by the PFA. So it was a funded position that I got. I went in there for 6 weeks and it literally helped me change my life. While I was in there, I found my new purpose of coaching and helping the next generation. And it was just a place of tranquility. It was a place to understand, you know, finding that purpose and moving forward in life. And it's important to stay on a pathway because otherwise life unravels very quickly. And it was just a superb place to go at that time when I hit rock bottom to help me move forward again and help me see a future for myself moving forward.
And but everybody talks about putting something back, but you have managed to put something back with the academy.
I have, yeah. I run a football academy now, but so we deliver education to the boys, 16 and 17 year old school leavers, in the city of Leicester. And we're really starting to get some superb results now. We've got our main thing that we try to work on is the life skills aspect. So we have a life skills program that we've run alongside the education and alongside the football. And 11 of our boys this year from our first cohort that we had in 2017 11 of them have got places at university, and 6 of those boys left school without a single GCSE. And I firmly put that down to setting up purposes for these boys, helping them with their core values and align that side of their life. And then everything else falls into place, the education and the advancement in football.
And also, you've ended up, as you said before, on the radio, BBC Radio Leicester, as a match summariser. It must be good fun going back into, you know, into the grounds and mixing with and seeing some familiar faces.
Yeah, it is. It's brilliant. I love it. Very nervous when I first took over from a legend of Leicester City, actually. Matt Elliott used to be the Leicester City captain, but he moved on to other things, so the position became available and I gave it a go. I was absolutely bricking it, to be honest.
I was waiting for the word you're going to use there, but thank you.
And but gradually, and you know, time, you know, really helped me in that position and understanding that, you know, one of the things that I learned in Sporting Chance was that I was going to be a person that, any time I felt nervous or I felt a little bit awkward in situations, you know, the easiest thing to do in life is say no and just get rid of whatever's making you feel awkward or nervous. And I thought, from now on, every time an opportunity arises, I'm going to say yes, even when it feels awkward. And I'm going to try and, you know, embrace that feeling of nerves and awkwardness and try and grow as a person. And that stood me in good stead since I left Sporting Chance.
You don't put any punches in the book. I mean, it's great, you know, it's you there, and it goes through all the tribulations and the horrors and the, you know, the mornings and the thing. I mean, do you hope that, I mean, A, was it a difficult book to because you worked, didn't you, with Joe Bruner with this as well. So was it hard to I mean, I know that, you know, you're encouraged to talk about how you got to where you are, but was it hard to actually talk to another human being about the situation?
There was difficult aspects of it. I mean, you know, what stands me in good stead with this book is I'm already, as want of a better phrase, an open book myself, you know, on social media and on places like that, especially since I come out of Sporting Chance and I felt that I got to know myself as a person better in that place. I've always been quite open with whether I'm discussing mental illness, the struggles that I had, or racism at times that I've been through, and I've been open about it. I've shared my thoughts, and I've had a voice with those difficult subject matters. So I've always been an open book. So that sort of helped me in the process with writing the book with Joe. But Joe was great. Joe did an article with me. He's deputy editor at 442 magazine, the big football magazine. And he did an article with me about 2 years ago. And the article went really well, and I was just really open and honest that, you know, before certain Premier League games, I would be absolutely petrified with nerves and really not wanting to go out there. And the only time that I ever enjoyed, you know, playing football was the 2 or 3 hours after a win and a good performance from myself. And then the nerves start again immediately for the preparation for the next game. So it was always a struggle for me and being a footballer. And, you know, when you analyse it now, I put it down to the fact that maybe, you know, that those feelings and thoughts were inside me, yes, but maybe it was because I didn't get that run of games to be able to feel comfortable at that level. You know, I talk about being nervous when I first went on the radio, but I'm not nervous anymore, but I've done 2 years of it, of constantly, you know, putting myself out there in those nervous moments, those awkward positions on the radio. And gradually, as you keep doing it and keep learning and keep moving forward, it becomes a lot easier. I never had that in football. So football was always a struggle for me, even when I was fit and I was playing. It was a struggle. So I think it's a side to a footballer you see that it didn't just happen to me. It's happened to other footballers. But, you know, I suppose that lots of other ex-footballers, for instance, feel quite protective over their football career. Mine was quite short, and I just thought it's an opportunity for me to tell the truth of what it was really like and probably let people see footballers in a different aspect.
I was going to say, what do you hope that people take from the book? But you've pretty much summed it up there.
Yeah, I think I have. It goes through all sorts. I mean, it's not just, it's called Out of the Darkness. I mean, I think it's a story of hope. You know, I'm hoping that it will help some of those people that feel they're at rock bottom, that they're going through life struggles. It's not just about footballers. It's about human beings. It's about we can go through the dark places, and you're looking at life and you think there's no way out, there's no way of moving forward. That, you know, in the book it talks about when the day I nearly, you know, ended my own life. And from that point then to the point I'm at now, I'm just so, you know, blessed and pleased that that didn't happen, because I'm so much more happier now at this point in my life than I was, for instance, when I was playing in the Premier League and seeing myself on Match of the Day. And some people can't contemplate that. So there's always a way to move forward, I believe. And I think that comes out in the book.
The book is called Out of the Darkness, from Top to Rock Bottom, My Story in Football. It comes out on the 31st of August, next Monday. It's by Matt Piper. Matt, if people want to find you, you said you're on social media. Where can they find you?
Well, my favourite place is on my Twitter handle. So it's _MattPiper. I'm very active on Twitter. My DMs are open if anyone is struggling or wants to ask me questions or talk about anything to do with football life. I'm always on there interacting with people. So thanks for having me on, Giles.
The book is called Out of the Darkness. It's by Matt Piper. Matt, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Giles. Take care, mate.